I need to refresh mine. What is up, everybody? Apologies about the situation. I apparently do not have the ability to go live on the TXR YouTube channel. So regretfully, we're going to be doing the show over here on this channel. And we're going to basically on the replay. Thank you for anybody that catches us on the replay, but it will be moved over to the TXR channel. And we are putting the link up. But until then, let's say hi to tonight's guests. I'm actually really excited to have the one guest here, the Mr. Big Plume over on the Plume Network. Awesome YouTube channel, growing channel. And I mean, you've grown a lot lately, bro. And I'm actually excited to have you here. So please introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been playing.
Yeah, man. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me on. Plume Network. I do gaming news, Xbox news a lot. I've been talking a lot about what's been going on with the FTC and ABK. Obviously, very excited after as well the Xbox showcase. So I've been talking a lot about Starfield and all of the games that are going to be coming out. So it's been an interesting time in the news recently. So, but yeah, what I've been playing, it's been a weird week or so for me. I've just been playing on and off different stuff. Like I've been playing some Zelda on the Switch, been playing Street Fighter Collection on Xbox. Also been playing, using my Steam Deck a lot. So just been playing a bunch of random stuff.
Right on, right on. Really excited to have you here. And we have another guest with us tonight. As you can see, Crusader and Invader both took the night off. They had some things that they had to get done. And so to help fill in, we have Mr. Dots RTS, our amazing friend that's always here to fill in. How you doing, Dots?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Happy to be here on another great Sunday night. Minus technical hiccups. Honestly, really no one's fault. But no, everything's great. I've been deep diving into my usuals. I've been playing a lot of Age of Wonders 4. They got a new DLC that came out that lets you like pretty much play Civilization, but your leader is a dragon, which is really freaking cool. Doing the usual Destiny grind because I can't do anything else. And just got the new Leviathan box for Warhammer 40K with a friend. So we tore that thing open. We're getting that stuff assembled. I got Space Marines. He's got Tyranids. And we're going to be ripping out each other's throats once we're all done assembly and painting and all that stuff. But it's a cool box. It's a great way to start into the game. No shameless plug there. But no, happy to be here. Happy to be here. Happy to get on with these topics. Nice to meet Plume. And I'm ready to go.
All right. All right. That's pretty awesome. And Mr. General MLD, how you been and what you been playing, good sir?
Hey, yeah, doing pretty good here. Looking forward to tonight's chat. Lately, I just been clearing out the backlog, The Darkness 2 on 360. And now I'm playing the Far Cry 3 remaster. Just, going back to basics after, Far Cry 6. And I got to say, still holds up. So, yeah, that's me.
All right. All right. And how about you, Mr. Eric Shockley? How you been, good sir?
Pretty good. I've just been grinding Diablo. Just getting to that part of the game where you've beaten everything. You're getting to the Nightmare or the World Tier 3 and deciding to, whether to tear down your build you've been running for since the beginning. To try some new builds that are much stronger. So it's that whole scared of like, hey, do I have the gear yet? And then, fighting through it and figuring it out. So, but that's the grind of Diablo. So, but yeah, ready to get into these topics. Definitely a juicy week. Appreciate Microsoft and Sony having this court battle. It's almost like another E3, just exciting news, stuff we don't typically ever get to find out or hear about until like decades later. So we'll get into it.
All right. So let's get to our first topic here. Come on now. Let's all talk about the big elephant in the room. Everybody knows what's going on. We have Xbox, Microsoft versus the FTC over the Activision, acquiring Activision. And to be honest, it has been an absolute entertaining, almost a, you know, four letter word kind of show. And so it's definitely time to really dive into it all. Somebody who's been doing an amazing job keeping up with it all is our new guest here, Mr. Plume. So good, sir. Please kind of give us the lowdown on the whole situation that's taking place and what you think about everything that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, so it's been the first 2 days that they've had the evidentiary hearing for the preliminary injunction. FTC versus Xbox has seemingly sounded like it's been PlayStation versus Xbox with all the stuff that has been coming out. I mean, we got a lot of information so far, lots of questioning. Phil Spencer was on the stand on Friday, talked a lot about the acquisition, had to kind of explain to the FTC how the acquisition worked, was talked about exclusivity stuff with Call of Duty. We got a lot of information about, like, Indiana Jones is now going to be, we know confirmed it's going to be exclusive. It's just been lots of stuff that you wouldn't expect to be coming out unless it was in something like this. And it's created a lot of interesting talking points, I think, for the gaming industry. And it really seems like, as of right now, the FTC's arguments are not sounding very strong. And a lot of people were believing that before this whole thing started, the FTC's arguments and case was very weak. And so far it seemed like that, and we'll see what happens as it goes forward, because I believe there's 3 more days left, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, with some more questioning that's going to happen. We'll see if things turn around, but right now Xbox is looking pretty strong right now against the FTC.
All right, so everybody, it has been, thank you, Plume. Forgive, I just got done talking to Invader about the whole situation that we're doing the show over here right now. But yeah, the FTC situation. Okay, it's actually amazing to see Phil Spencer actually being, this is what makes me love about Phil Spencer, is he always is willing to take any of the big issues that surround the Xbox brand head on. He has always been in the spotlight. He does not hide behind anybody. I don't know if you touched on this, Plume, or not, but I mean, like, let's look at it. Jim Ryan has had an absolute awful a lot to say about Microsoft trying to get Activision, and he didn't even show up for this. He didn't even give a streamed video. He literally gave a taped disposition that the FTC, I guess, played in court. And again, this is what I love about Phil Spencer. He took that stand and faced the FTC and really, in my opinion, embarrassed the hell out of them. I mean, there was a point where the judge actually silenced the lawyer for the FTC and pretty much told Phil Spencer that he did not have to actually answer one of the questions that were asked of him. And it's insane to see that also, that it almost feels like the FTC did absolutely no homework on how the game industry actually works. Like, it, I mean, like the whole conversation of what happens if Xbox makes an exclusive skin that you can only get over on Xbox.
Oh boy.
Please tell me you guys did not just say that, because I mean, you guys might have well just said the sky is blue, water is wet, and earth and the dirt is brown. What do you think about all this, Dots? I mean, like, it just seems like the FTC not only showed up unprepared, but it's like they're almost like half-assing it.
I think that I don't know. I feel like that's, it feels almost generational, because while for us, you know, gaming is a massive part of everything, a lot of these people in these big, you know, top end business, the FTC, or even just the court cases and whatnot, they're just unfamiliar with how big these gaming companies are and like how like tight knit a lot of their stands are and their, and the legalities of what they have. And like, you know, not every, not every lawyer can be as good as our good friend who's been on the channel before. I zoned out on the name. He, Hoag law. You know, not everyone can be as, you know, as good as him when it comes to, you know, gaming laws and whatnot. But it's just, I feel like there's just this generational gap that it's like, you know, they come in, they're like, you know, this is a product and, you know, we're just going to treat it like a product. And, you know, and with, you know, Sony versus Microsoft and, you know, trying to keep games and services, you know, the competitive nature of them there. And it's like, no, it's not the same, or it's a lot more advanced. It's a lot more involved than, you know, these guys are just like, you know, they're getting paid to, you know, question and try to tear this down. And, you know, Phil Spencer and Microsoft team is just like, no, we have this down. We've had this down for a while. And yeah, no, like all the top brass of Microsoft, they're, you know, they're sitting down. They're like, ask us any questions. We will answer any questions and we will all have the same thing to tell to you. And, you know, you can hit us with the hard questions. We don't care. We're going to hit back with hard answers and we're sticking to them, and that they're, everyone on that team is united in, you know, this is what we stand for. This is what we're going to do with this, you know, property that they're aiming to get. And it's just, it's coming out very nicely. And it's good to see, you know, even if Microsoft doesn't take the W for actually acquiring it because of, you know, underhanded tricks or Sony, you know, kissing feet and, you know, whatever, all this bullshit, like, they're going to take a W in terms of, you know, what they stood for and what they're saying, because they're in the right. They are doing something great and they're going to do some more stuff great with what they're going to get if they get it. But obviously this is the real world. And unfortunately the good guy doesn't always win, because there's always some, you know, greedy backhand trick or some other, you know, legal thing. I mean, what was in the UK? They had the issue with cloud gaming. That was their stance to, you know, push back on the Microsoft, and like, all right, fine. We'll you know, collab with you guys on, you know, cloud gaming stuff. We'll push for that, and, you know, and show you, you know, that this isn't just, you know, oh, we'll take a knee to, you know, some stupid demand. No, fine. You're going to hit us with that. We're going to hit you back even harder. We'll work with you on cloud gaming. We'll, you know, try to set that up. Yeah. So it's good to see. And as you know, Phil Spencer, you know, in on the front line doing awesome versus, you know, Jim Ryan hiding in the back behind his army of, you know, frothing at the mouth people. So it's good to see, you know, power for words and powerful stances being taken versus, at least from Microsoft, versus all the other underhanded BS going on. Because last time you had me on and we were talking about the FTC and other, you know, legal things with Xbox, I was like, you know, I just want this to be over, but we're so close to the finish, because just like Plume said, we got 3 more days, 27th, 28th, and 29th. And after that, there's got to be a quick decision, because obviously the big countdown was July 18th. That's, if we don't hit that point, then they got to reorganize the deal. And after that, who knows what's going to happen. So we're on a bit of a time clock. We're near the finish line, win or lose, but it's great to see that Microsoft is not missing a step. And anytime that they take an L, if anything bad happens with them, it's usually because of these, you know, underhanded tricks and these, you know, political BS backstabbings, whatever, you know, cutthroat business law. So before I was like, you know, we got to get this over and done with. Now my eyes are glued on and I'm like, you know, I'm ready. I'm ready to see the result. And I'm rooting for it to be in our favor big time.
Oh, for sure. I mean, here's the thing. I've always been a big fan of the underdog in any story. I mean, like, literally, I know it's Microsoft. I know they're a $1 trillion company. Are they really an underdog? No. But if we look at the Xbox brand specifically, they are an underdog. They, like, literally before Xbox, it was like Sega, Sony, and Nintendo. And literally those were all Eastern companies. And then here comes the Western guy that wants to somehow get into games and make a console. And nobody thought it could be done. And just because of how Nintendo and PlayStation conducted themselves, they ended up running Sega into the ground, which means that the only, like, I mean, could you imagine a world where if it was literally just PlayStation and Nintendo? This is where I really feel like I'm glad that Xbox exists and that they have this huge underdog story that they are like literally the game publisher, the hardware manufacturer that could. And I'm not trying to sound like a shill in saying that, but it's good to see that Microsoft has really tried to take a lot of the issues head on. They knew that they were having problems with getting fans hyped for certain games and that they were falling behind on public perception for the brand, which is why Phil Spencer made some of the comments that he did, saying that, you know, like, we saw Activision want to renegotiate with the Xbox brand because they were wanting to possibly potentially make Call of Duty only a PlayStation game because they wanted a bigger share of revenue, which caused Xbox to give Activision a bigger share of revenue. We saw PlayStation that has continuously tried to get third-party development deals, and it's all because third-party exclusive development deals, and it's all because the Xbox brand is so much smaller. They don't generate this big, huge amount of revenue that PlayStation does. And this is where I want Xbox to be able to compete. And, like, literally, because of the way PlayStation has been conducting themselves and the way they've been doing it, which is just throwing money around. Like, we're talking about a $1 trillion company versus a $1 billion company. And the $1 billion company is just throwing their money around, trying to get leverage any way they can, where the $1 trillion company is not throwing everything they got at the Xbox brand. And so therefore Xbox has to kind of stand on its own 2 feet a little bit, which is where they've been making purchases of studios versus just throwing money around to get exclusive deals through third-party developers. Before we get to General MLD, because I know he probably has a lot to say about this because he is just as invested as any of us is, I would like to hear about Shockley, because Shockley, what do you think about this whole situation? I know you've been keeping up with it as well.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the court case and everything, it was good to see them to actually, you know, get it pushed through to start with. I forget who it was that kind of like forced their hand because we thought it was going to last until like 2025.
The FTC was not actually supposed to do anything until August, where they were supposed to drag Microsoft into their administrative court. And when you're in administrative court, it's like basically you're in a court that is essentially owned by the FTC. The judge works for the FTC. With the situation over in the UK and the potential that Xbox might actually even think about potentially figuring out how to subsidize or downsize stuff in the UK to just basically cut the UK out without having to have them interfere in the deal in this point, they know that legal hurdle was with the FTC, in which case they were... The FTC had not filed a preliminary injunction at the time. And so technically, legally, Xbox was still allowed to close the deal. And they put out this thing that they were going to close the deal. I knew that it was like they're playing chess, poker, whatever you want to call it. And essentially, they forced somebody into calling their bluff. And that's where the FTC, all of a sudden, we're going to file a preliminary injunction. Well, okay, well, now you just made it a federal case, which means we get to finish this now.
Yeah, and what I found funny, because I think we had already touched on this point, but I don't understand how there's not I get it, people in the FTC or the people like asking the questions or the head of the team that are going after Microsoft at the FTC aren't gamers, sure. I just don't understand why there's not, hey, we're missing this expertise. It's probably just being arrogant, I guess, of like, hey, we don't know anything about gaming. Like, can we hire an expert? Hire, you know, you could even go talk to somebody and have a disclaimer and, hey, we'll pay you this amount. You know, somebody from a gaming outlet, somebody, you know. There's plenty of gaming people that are in the industry that are in San Francisco. Like, wow, the IGN people, not a cheap place to, like, just give them an extra paycheck. I'm sure they'll be like, oh, cool, some extra side cash. I don't know if that's, you know, if there's any qualms about that, but they need an expert. So they need to pay somebody for their time because they don't know anything. Like for Sarah Bond to make the FTC or whoever was asking that question look like they had no idea, like you shouldn't even be, you know, be ahead of this investigation or questioning, like how she had explained like what DLC was and just all this. That was hilarious. But just everything.
About the one question the judge asked, right? Why is Halo exclusive?
Yeah. And it's, and you can, and that's the thing that I think that's really going to not whoever is making the final decision after the, I guess the judge here, but because you can just tell from their line of questioning that they don't care. And I get it. It's not, we don't care about what Sony's doing because obviously it's not technically involving Sony as far as like the purchase of, doesn't matter what Sony's doing. Sony's not making this purchase. But you can clearly see, oh, okay, well, you were the dominant person was already, like you're already not, you know, you're in third place or whatever. And the one that's in first place, pretty far ahead, is the one that's being very aggressive and almost that kind of brought to light, hey, we're, you know, with the Bethesda, hey, they already went after Starfield. They're going after Final Fantasy, other big name publishers or big name IP, kind of like Call of Duty, not on its level, but, you know, still big hitters. And they're kind of like pushing, you know, this competitor, Microsoft, into a corner of like, okay, well, if you're going to lock those down, you know, for the foreseeable future or almost, you know, 1 year deals where it makes it, and we like, yeah, we can't even talk about Call of Duty on our platform outside of like our own store. We can't even be at our own conference and say, hey, this game's here like that. And that's the other crazy part when you think about it. Like, I get it. PlayStation as like the PR. Sure. Maybe they are the only ones that get to like advertise commercials or whenever there is a COD commercial on TV, they get to put their console after it. That makes sense. But to say like, I can't even have a show or a conference and say like, hey, it's going to be here. Like at our, I can advertise on my Xbox store on the console. Right. But those people are already in the ecosystem. So a lot of people just, and that's how it is. A lot of people thought Destiny was a PlayStation exclusive. So it's kind of like that power. And this is a single-handedly, you know, this is almost what the FTC was making their case about here was COD, which, yeah, I think Hoag was spot on with like, they're failing to, they shouldn't have like led with this. And then they shouldn't, they're making a bad case of like, why, you know, why this shouldn't be exclusive. But even so, like the judge is like, okay, well, will you say it's going to come to all the future, you know, as long as PlayStation allows you, you'll let it come to the, you know, system. Yeah, cool. And that's all it seems to care about. But it feels like the FTC just kind of like completely dropped the ball of what they're trying to, I don't know what they're trying to establish, because even their own witness with Stadia didn't help them do them any favors. And if anything, I think they had what the one damning interview or email from, not even damning, but from Matt Booty, was, you know, they had their prior strategy. And I know a lot of people were saying, well, that's a smoking gun. That's just even more premeditated. People were comparing it to murder. But it's like, no, it's a completely different strategy. Like that was, you know, 4 years ago, well before Bethesda was even at that time thought of probably being a purchase. Because I'm not sure when they found out about the whole Starfield being, hey, they're going after, you know, making this a 1 year or making this exclusive. So they may have known about like maybe the Deathloop or Ghostwire Tokyo partnerships, which, even though those are, you know, good quality games overall, those weren't like the heavy hitters of like, hey, this is the next Todd Howard game. New IP that he's done in decades or ever, like, I don't know, because he didn't create Fallout, so that's not even his. So so just like that was going to be that, I get why that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back there with them, like, hey, yeah, we can't allow this to go through. So I'm like, cool, all right, bet. You know, fuck it, or screw it, we'll go ahead and just take the we have a good relationship with Bethesda, hit him up, and Bethesda's like, cool, this is pretty much what we were doing anyway with Sony. We were like, hey, we're going to streamline our development because we're having some rocky stuff over here. So, hey, this makes sense. This is exactly what we were already doing with starting to do with Sony. So, cool. And they were fine with it. And then, you know, it got to a point where Activision, we saw with Bobby Kotick, that came to light. That was another revelation of like, hey, they were trying to strong arm Microsoft's. So even though people want to say, hey, Microsoft's this big trillion-dollar company, they could just outbid Sony. Well, that's the thing. They can't, whenever they make the same time deals, they're not going to get the same, they're going to have to pay a lot more to take away, to shut off Sony's platform, just because they are a bigger a market. They have a bigger market share of the home console plastic boxes on that share of the, you know, console share, you know, market share. So they're going to have to pay way more. And at that point, it might not make financial sense to actually do that. And same thing with COD, like they're being forced to like, hey, and think about that. They're a big player, even like Microsoft, even in, which it's funny that they were able to even try to like make that wager of strong arming them with the COD 80-20 split, when technically, what COD's probably biggest market, you know, you would think be North America. Maybe obviously they make up way more in the rest of the world, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, even consoles are, you know, pretty balanced. Obviously, PlayStation still probably has the edge in North America. But to say that they can just strong arm Microsoft, hey, we're going to call our bluff, sure, whatever. We're not going to put COD on your system if we don't give a bigger revenue than, you know, what Sony does. So that's pretty bold. Like, so even if you want to paint Microsoft as this big, you know, gigantic corporation, even they are being pushed around by publishers, not just console makers, publishers about, hey, we're calling the shots, not you, even though you have the storefront, we don't. And Microsoft's like, all right, cool, well, we'll just buy you. So, I mean, so at that point they're, you know, not being bullied around, but you know, it took $70 billion. You know, that's not a small investment, especially for Microsoft. That's, you know, in third, you know, can see my Xbox is in third place. And, you know, do we make our biggest investment as a Microsoft corporation ever done, and we do it into gaming? That maybe wouldn't be the smartest. Not that it would be not the smartest, but from there, probably, you know, Microsoft as a corporation, like, why are we even in gaming? You know, for them to make that type of investment. So that's just been it's been awesome to see just like all these different cool just nuggets of information that we've gotten just from, you know, stuff that's getting redacted or stuff that's maybe getting unsealed hopefully here soon. Maybe we'll see what Jim Ryan's recording. I guess maybe some of it we're hearing we may get to see later. Some of it not, but hopefully. But yeah, that's just been fun, and I think that's how this has all gone down. You're gonna see probably, I mean, I'm hoping, obviously I can't, you know, fully predict this, but it seems like it's going in Microsoft's favor so far, as you know, beat for beat, and even from when the judge had to like stop the FTC saying, hey, okay, we got to the point they don't even need to answer about the whole cloud thing, which is the big thing in the CMA is having an issue with. So it just seems like the judge is kind of like fed up, saying like, yeah, this is ridiculous, why are we trying to stop them? Like, this doesn't make too much sense. So hopefully it continues to go that way and we get this, find out, you know, what's gonna happen here sooner and later, and then we can just move on with this news that we've all been asking for since beginning of this year to be just done with this. But next week I'm sure is going to be a lot of fun, to even more nuggets of information, that probably some more truth bombs coming our way. So, but yep.
Yeah, dang. I mean, man, the insanity of this whole freaking court case. We actually saw the FTC lawyers drag a PlayStation 5 into court. Could you imagine just sitting in the courtroom and they're just like, yeah, evidence example, whatever C is a PS5. Like, what are you doing dragging a game console into the courtroom?
Screen.
It's like, basically, it's like they're taking the little cloth off and like, all right, everybody, this is a game console.
Exhibit 1, God of War Ragnarok.
But no, like, it's also good to see, like, man, if this doesn't speak examples or words about why Microsoft is putting this much effort into buying ABK. So let's just put it this way. Gaming is, for whatever reason, has always been seen as this passe. Oh my God, I can't believe you play video games. You must be this just like uber immature individual. But now gaming has basically translated into an industry that basically makes more money than movies, television, and music combined. It's absolutely getting insane. And so, I mean, if that doesn't speak words on why one company is willing to not only invest $70 billion, but also to put up a massive legal battle with the FTC and other world regulators, I mean, that just shows you how important gaming has become. And I mean, this whole conversation is so important that, I mean, it looks like Jim Ryan has joined us in the chat, or at least somebody called Jim Ryan. But let's have some more fun. Mr. General MLD, I know you've been sitting in silence. You've got a lot to say on this. Let's have some fun, sir. Please give us your opinion.
Okie dokie. Well, a lot of good takes so far. There's some overlap here, but I'm optimistic right now. See, this was always described as a high-risk, high-reward situation to fast-track the entire deal. Instead of doing the whole thing in August, Microsoft, they somehow played the FTC to force the injunction and get this whole thing in federal court within 5 court days. They'll have this whole thing found out by next Friday. Fantastic. Like, some of us thought we'd be going into 2024, but now that might not be the case. Well, I mean, we're not there yet. We're only halfway done, but it's looking pretty good. Now, UK gamers, that's another story. We'll see how they deal with that. But that's another point altogether. Now, the FTC, these guys are just not prepared. It's clear their strategy is to win, not in court or like by facts, but by waiting out. All they have to really prove is that their court dates in August are worth pursuing to get more information. That's really all they really have to prove, is that things are maybe inconclusive or there's reasonable doubt. So the judge grants the injunction. Now that's where FTC would win, because no one wants to wait like X amount of years for them to drag this out. That's the only way they're going to win, and they know that. So, but they should have been better prepared. Not that I'm complaining. It's great news that they're not prepared, so the judge can rule in Xbox's favor. Now, what's also interesting is that it's like they're negotiating for Sony themselves. And that's wrong on more than a few levels. But the one that stands out the most is that they're protecting the market leader, and they're not looking out for consumers, because that's what this is really all about. They should be doing their job to protect consumers, not other market competitors. And it's clear that's not on their mind. Now, it's an odd stance sticking to console when even the CMA couldn't use that angle. Like, they're just dead set on this Call of Duty, like, being exclusive nonsense. When, again, the CMA tried this, like, ad nauseum, and only in like the last couple months of the CMA investigation did they pivot to cloud, because like the math was there, the facts were there. They could not prove their case with that angle. So again, like they're not even copying other people's homework correctly. They're just going off the old homework. And then there's Jim Ryan. He's a no-show. Not even via Skype or whatever, like whatever live stream. He's there as like a pre-recorded deposition. Like, come on. you make the biggest stink. I think he was the sole guy that made this whole process being dragged out as much as it is. So they made the biggest stink, and he's not even there. That to me says something. Meanwhile, Satya Nadella, Phil Spencer, Sarah Bond, they're all there, ready and willing to answer questions. And I think that's kind of why I think he's not there. A little bit because he's a coward, but also because imagine what a Microsoft lawyer is going to ask Jim Ryan, and he will be under oath to answer. No way is he going to show up in person and incriminate Sony's pretty shady tactics in how they do business in gaming. So I think that's why he didn't show up. But again, that only makes Xbox and Microsoft look better. Now, Phil Spencer, he did great. He just straight up destroyed their case by saying under oath numerous times that he will pledge that Call of Duty will stay on PlayStation, even the next PlayStation. So, I mean, it doesn't really get much more simple than that. The judge literally clarified that he was under oath, and he, without hesitation, says, we will put Call of Duty on PlayStation. Done. Right there, the case is closed. Right there. Now, other parts, the judge cuts off the FTC not once but twice. Some people say that there was an audible oof in the audience because the FTC lawyer just was really just that incompetent with their questioning. One of them says, what if Xbox makes an exclusive feature on Call of Duty that isn't on PlayStation? Well, that's kind of what Sony's been doing for the last 5+ years, and no one seemed to bat an eye at that. So why can't Xbox do it? Not that they're not. They're pledging pure parity.
Wait until they find out about that exclusive strike over on PlayStation for Destiny.
Oh man, yeah, right. So I know it's just so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. And then the Starfield. This was the best moment. I think this was the highlight for me because this shows the expression, F around, find out. Well, Sony did that with Ghostwire and Deathloop, and Microsoft hears through the grapevine that Starfield's going to get the same thing. And at that point, they're like, enough's enough. If Sony's going to keep doing these deals everywhere across the industry, they got to fight back somehow. So they make the ultimate third-party deal of all. They graduate the third-party dev to first-party. That's really there's no better third-party deal than that. So, in my opinion, that is the actually only way to combat this, because Phil Spencer also made an interesting point. It's not people on Twitter when they say, "Oh, well, why can Xbox just outbid Sony?" It's not that simple, because of the console install base. Sony's deals are cheaper because they're doing is paying for whatever revenue that Xbox would have generated. But if Xbox were to make the same deal, it's got to be four times as expensive, because they have to be forced to pay for PlayStation's lost revenue, the revenue that PlayStation would give them. So given the odds are stacked against Microsoft and Xbox's favor here, they really can't play by Sony's rules anymore. They really can't. I mean, you could do that with indie games where the budgets are small, maybe some niche AA games, but AAA games, no way. The deck is too stacked in Sony's favor. So what can you do? You buy the whole publisher. Essentially, you lock Sony out from making these deals, forcing them to look elsewhere. And you get the value brought back into your system. But even so, the Xbox ecosystem is pretty big, like PC day one. Sony doesn't do that with their exclusives. So, I mean, it's not like it's just on Xbox, far from it. We all know this. So I'm glad that it exposed what Sony is capable of. And I think it gives Xbox a little more, it's more relatable. We sympathize with them more, because at the end of the day, they had to do something. If Sony keeps doing what they're doing, Xbox has to respond somehow. So, and if this Starfield was going to be PlayStation exclusive at one point, what's so wrong about Xbox having the exclusive? At least it's guaranteed on PC day one. At least it's day one on Game Pass. So it's far more accessible and consumer friendly being an Xbox exclusive than it would be a PlayStation exclusive. And I think we all know that, no matter where our bias lies. So there is that. And then there's some minor things like the Stadia rep. He was used as an FTC witness, but he ended up helping Xbox by admitting that they competed with PC and PlayStation. And the FTC was arguing that like cloud was a separate market when the guy admitted that he competes with them. And of course, and he said he wasn't really concerned with Xbox cloud as much at the time. Because I think back then, yeah, XCloud was only like in beta, or like it was only beginning to be rolled out. Stadia did come first. So XCloud wasn't really competition at the time. So Stadia failed because of Stadia, not because of Xbox. So those were my highlights. Next week, we have Bobby Kotick and Satya Nadella. So there's more fun in store. I think we're going to get a lot more juicy information. But from what I'm seeing here, FTC, they don't really... I think the judge is smelling the BS here. And FTC, they got a ways to go before they can prove guaranteed harm to consumers, because they really have no case right now at all. I don't want to be too cocky. We'll know by next Friday. There's still a couple days left, but Microsoft, they got this. Like, so far, so good. I don't think they could have done their job any better. They did a pretty good damn job. So we'll see. Hopefully I'll get these Diablo 4, all these Activision games on Game Pass by the end of the summer. That's my goal. So we'll see.
No, like you said, there's been some juicy information coming out. I mean, we have actually got some clarification on a few things. Like for starters, the one thing that really sucks to hear is that the Xbox brand was getting to a point where they had to do something to recapture investment from other developers and publishers in the industry, because yeah, they were in third place. They were falling very far behind when it came to consumer preference and also just hype around the ecosystem. But that's where Microsoft, like you said, they pivoted. They found out that that PlayStation, Sony was actually negotiating with Bethesda to make Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo exclusive. Now, what's kind of funny is we all know they became timed exclusives, but when you look at some of the wording, it almost feels like they were trying to negotiate for those games to be outright exclusives, kind of like what's happening with Final Fantasy a lot. And they were going to try to make Starfield an exclusive for the PlayStation brand. And like you said, Mr. Jim MLD, they were going to make it exclusive, which means it would have not made it to PC. But that's where now we have found out through the testimony of Mr. Pete Hines during this whole proceeding, how he told the FTC that not only is Starfield an exclusive for Xbox, but we are also now getting Indiana Jones as an exclusive for Xbox and PC, that they had to renegotiate the deal with Disney to make this game exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem and for it to come to Game Pass day and date on its release day. And that was probably a giant middle finger to the PlayStation executives over there that you no longer get Indiana Jones. But also, this is where I think it's really funny on how the FTC was trying to make it sound like this is just some big deal that they took away yet another game from the PlayStation brand, like with Redfall. But like, let's look at it objectively here. We have seen a number of Marvel games, Disney IP, exclusive to the PlayStation ecosystem. And we are also seeing the Knights of the Republic remake, whenever the hell that comes out. I know it's stuck in development hell, but whenever that game comes out, it is probably still going to be the timed exclusive that it was supposed to be over on the PlayStation brand. So we already see a number of Disney IPs exclusive to the PlayStation ecosystem. Why is it a big deal that a Disney IP is going to be exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem? Dots, we're going to start off with you.
It's certainly a thing. I don't know, because I know kind of doing a small backpedal to we were just talking about the lawsuit. I know another thing that kept going on about was the that if they don't make it exclusive, if they don't make Call of Duty or other games exclusive to Xbox and let PlayStation have it, they'll make the games worse on those platforms on purpose. And I know that was like a whole load of bullshit and whatnot, but like that kind of edged me on as you know, what kind of grasping for straws are you going for with these things? For exclusivity, I don't know. It could be another generational thing, you know, having a Disney product, is, you know, kind of big. Obviously the gap of fan base between Star Wars and Indiana Jones is monumental. Absolutely. Like there is no debate that there is more Star Wars people than Indiana Jones. Now, I like Indiana Jones. Great set of movies. If you don't include
actually
the third movie,
can I give you some food for thought real quick?
Yeah.
We've all heard this when it comes to relationships. Absence makes the heart fonder. I'm sorry, but we have had people like since Disney has gotten a hold of the Star Wars brand, it feels like everybody has Star Wars something or other. It almost feels good to see Harrison Ford playing Indiana Jones once again. And I mean, like, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm more hyped with this Indiana Jones title. And it's not because it's an Xbox title. It's just because it's freaking Indiana Jones. And I mean, I grew up on Star Wars.
And I saw it was made by the guys who made the recent Wolfenstein games. And those games are great. Like, I have a good feeling that this game will come out great. Unfortunately, unlike the Redfall release, which obviously that was a whole different topic we had, but I have good confidence that this game will be great. I have good confidence that like it will do the IP proud. I'm great that it's exclusive to Xbox and Xbox PC. Definitely no debate that the people who like Indiana Jones, this hype will be a hype game. This will be great. Unfortunately, like I was saying, everyone can kind of do their hit or miss on the Indiana Jones movies after the third one. I watched them out of order when I was younger. Obviously, I'm probably younger than most of you guys on this panel, but like I watched it 1, 3, 4, then 2. Because my parents were like, we don't want you watching the second one because it might be like a little too, mature for you. I'm like, I just watched Nazis get their faces melted off in the first one. And I watched a guy get like, dissolved into dust in the third one. Spoilers. Sorry, guys, for, movies of that day and age. You think, me seeing the second one is going to, traumatize me any more or less? So, I definitely don't, think about Indiana Jones nonstop. I mean, Harrison Ford is a great actor. And even outside of being an actor, when he, acts like an asshole to everyone, I always find that funny. Every time he's on like a talk show, he makes me laugh because he's always, bashing the crowd or bashing the host. And anytime anyone tries to ask him about the Star Wars Christmas episode, that always gets me. But I'm excited. I don't know if I'll play it. Honestly, I feel like it will be a little bit more of a cinematic game that I'll probably like watch all the cutscenes or someone do a playthrough. But like for the people who want it, awesome! I can't wait. Yeah, I'm really curious on whip controls. That's gonna be an interesting. How they do whip combat in that game. Because there's no way they're not going to do some sort of whip mechanics or whip combat. It wouldn't be Indiana Jones without it. I think this is a good IP to pull from. It's so niche, but it's niche in a good way that it can pull enough of the right people. Like obviously you can't beat a Titan like Star Wars, but being able to take any of those Disney IPs and actually being able to make exclusive, you know, something, you know, especially from Lucasfilms, Lucas Games. No, I'm looking forward to it. I have good confidence it's going to come out great, and gamers are going to be happy, at least the gamers who have Xboxes.
Now, I'm just excited to be, like, because if we all think about it, the last time I believe we got an Indiana Jones game was on the original Xbox. I can't
the
even
Lego
think
of one. Was it the Lego? Well,
oh, I'm talking Jones? Like a legit, like a okay. legit, like without involving
Lego. Lego games aren't legit. What?
Dude, I play more. Okay. I have played almost all the Lego games. So trust me, I'm not dissing Lego games. I'm just saying an actual video game in the world of Indiana Jones without Legos or like some spoof game that is trying to make like an actual developed, licensed, hey, this is an Indiana Jones plot style game. I think it was like literally on the original Xbox. So it's just good to see that they're, you know, I was excited when I found out that they were blowing the dust off this franchise, no pun intended. And now let's get to our other guest, Mr. Plume. What do you think about the whole news about Indiana Jones becoming exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem? Was this game like a never was for you? Or are you excited to see the IP finally coming back into the limelight? What do you say, good sir?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this game because I mean, I've seen the movies and stuff. I'm not like the biggest Indiana Jones fan in the world, but I think it's important from just an IP notoriety perspective that Xbox has something like this on their platform. I mean, this is basically also what Phil Spencer said when he was questioned about why Indiana Jones would be exclusive. He basically was like, well, PlayStation has Spider-Man and we need something to be able to counter that. And you look at a game like Spider-Man on the PS5 and PlayStation in general, it doesn't even, if you're not a hardcore gamer, you don't play games all the time, people will just gravitate towards the name, right? The Spider-Man name, just because of how popular it is. And Xbox having an Indiana Jones, I think, is a huge thing. And in terms of like the game itself, I'm thinking this is probably going to be, I'm thinking of like Tomb Raider and Uncharted, third person action, a cinematic style game, and kind of like Dots. Like if it's just purely cinematic, I will play it. It's not, I'm not into the games with hours and hours of cutscenes, but I feel like they can definitely play off of the reboot of the recent Tomb Raider trilogy, which I thought was phenomenal. So there's a lot to base it off of, and there's just so much that Machine Games is going to be able to do. I mean, Wolfenstein games are incredible. Graphically, I think if we look at stuff that Unreal Engine 5 has been doing, you think about that in an Indiana Jones world, that's extremely exciting. So the game itself, I'm really excited for. But we also got to think about like this whole debate about the exclusivity, and it's weird how it's even like a debate. It's weird how it's even in question that Indiana Jones was going to be exclusive on Xbox. When they announced that this game was coming out, I wasn't surprised that it became exclusive, but the fact that they're pushing back against this, at least during this trial, when you look at all of the exclusivity deals that PlayStation does is kind of crazy. Even we think that the quotes that were coming out where Phil Spencer was basically saying that they are PlayStation is a hostile competitor and they have to do these things if they want to survive going forward. And one thing I think it's pretty apparent now, in terms of how this entire console war, if you want to call it that, is going, is that Xbox needed to kind of, they realized that they can't beat PlayStation in terms of strictly the console wars. And they've come up with a way to, I think in the future, be bigger and surpass PlayStation in terms of revenues and everything by having the ecosystem, having Game Pass, having cloud gaming and the subscription and all that type of stuff. And PlayStation, right, is why they're pushing against this so hard is because they know they have to continue to adjust their strategy. They're not going to be able to continue to go with the PS5 or the PlayStation exclusivity stuff with pushing everything onto a box. And they don't have the money to be able to compete on the same level as Xbox has when it comes to buying up stuff like Activision, buying up stuff like Bethesda, and being able to get all of those games into subscription service that will be, at the end of the day, better than what PlayStation is going to be able to offer, because right now they're not even offering their first party games on there. So I think games like Indiana Jones are huge. All the stuff from Bethesda obviously coming on is huge. All the stuff from Activision Blizzard, if this deal gets passed, is massive. And we will see more of this happening, I think, in the future, going forward. And based off of the information that has been coming out, they've kind of been pushed into having to do this. Like you guys said earlier, PlayStation, all of the third-party deals that they have been making, not that Xbox didn't do this previously, but PlayStation, from what we understand, was making sure games just didn't show up on Xbox, which you could argue was because they wanted to get rid of them in the entire console wars thing, kind of like similar as what happened between PlayStation and Sega. But yeah, Indiana Jones, I think, is going to be awesome. I think there's so much from third person action adventure game, the whip physics, like you said, Dots, like that's going to be super cool, what they're going to do with that. And obviously there's the new movie coming out, so it's like a good time to start kind of talking about it and getting it into the headlines. So pretty excited for it.
Yeah, definitely a lot to be excited about for the Xbox brand, because it almost feels like we're seeing a new version of the Xbox brand start to emerge, an uber aggressive, ready to go toe to toe with the guy who's basically been strangling the industry for a while now. It's definitely great, and it's a good time to be excited. So let's move on to Mr. General MLD. What do you think about the news about the Indiana Jones IP becoming exclusive to the Xbox brand, and that the Xbox brand is actually trying to get more exclusives like this to be on the ecosystem?
Well, first, it's a little funny that on Twitter, everybody's invested in this thing on some level. And some are just trying to like score some points by saying, why do you guys care about this stuff? Like, it doesn't do anything for you. Like, there's no announcements or anything. Well, I beg to differ. This is like an actual like announcement that if Xbox were to put it in their showcase, it would get a lot of cheers. A lot of people would love hearing about this. So it's funny how we got really good news from a court hearing. So that was actually nice, because it was up in the air. No one knew if it was going to be exclusive or not, because the initial deal was to make it multi-platform. But I'm glad, because it's Machine Games, it's an Xbox studio, and they went to Disney and renegotiated, and they were okay with it. So, fine. Excellent. Great. It's day one Game Pass. It's Xbox ecosystem exclusive, and I'm definitely going to play it, because it works out nicely, because yes, like you guys touched on it before, Sony's making all these deals with like Wolverine, Spider-Man, KOTOR. Like, people are saying, Xbox, like, do something. Like, sure, you got a lot of first party now that are under your belt, but there's still a lot of pop culture icons out there that are just, you know, are just beyond video games. And at the Xbox, I'm glad they know that they needed one of their own. Now, is it as big as Spider-Man? No, of course not. But it's still, Indiana Jones will still have a big following. And whether or not the movie out right now flops or gets an audience, I think people will feel nostalgic for like a classic Indiana Jones game. Like, where Indy's like the main protagonist and in his prime for when this game is eventually out. So I think the fan base will show up for this game once it does come out. And also for Machine Games, it's good because they'll get some exposure. Because as great as Wolfenstein, the last one they made was, I played it, I beat it myself, fantastic game, graphics were gorgeous, gameplay was tight, a great FPS. Apparently, it didn't sell too well, so for one reason or another. This way, they can bank on the IP to generate that kind of attraction off the bat. All they got to do is apply their magic, like make the game itself as good as they made Wolfenstein, but with Indiana Jones, and there you go. Like, I think the quality is going to speak for itself, and the IP will bring gamers to it as well. And I think the rumors are like it's going to be a mixture of third and first person, whip mechanics, all that kind of stuff. I think Machine Games is up to the task. Like, they're a pretty competent studio. So it's good that they got it, and I hope it's not the last either. Like they really need more of this stuff because Xbox, they're doing everything right now. They're buying publishers, they're investing in their own studios, and I'm glad that they were able to secure another exclusive for what is a first party studio from them. I think enough of their own first party studios are making multiplat games. You didn't have to add machine games to the list. And it's funny, in the courtroom, FTC tried to list this game as an example, to kind of like get like a gotcha moment kind of thing. But it's weak on a few levels. Number one, this is a single player game, and Call of Duty is a microtransactions, multiplayer heavy. So the two don't mix. Also, I think the last true, like you said, the last true Indiana Jones game was on the original Xbox. It's been a while. So the IP is very uncertain, again, compared to Call of Duty, an established annual IP that's very, very popular. So it's apples to oranges, really. So it's these kinds of games that it really doesn't hurt Sony too much if it's Xbox exclusive. But it will help Xbox. It'll keep gamers up to Game Pass. If they go hard on this, make it an exclusive bundle, that'll move the needle a little bit. So every game helps, and I'm glad Xbox sees the importance of these pop culture IP that they're securing. So, yeah, good news. I'll play it.
Yes, definitely some good news. I mean, dude, it's so funny when you watch that court case when they're trying to use it as an example, like, you know, like you said, a gotcha moment. And they were questioning Pete Hines about that and even Phil Spencer. And then all of a sudden it, because they're like, oh, it was a game that was also in development for the PlayStation that you took away. And it's like almost like, have you heard of Final Fantasy VII? And like literally it was like, so, like the FTC, the judge and other people, and like even some people in like the casual gaming consumer base had no idea that Sony was actually as aggressive as they are. And that's where I have to actually kind of, because I also listened to Dustin Lagiri. He even said on his channel, welcome to the gaming industry, because this is how it is. And it's like all of a sudden, like the FTC, the judge, and a couple other people in the audience were like, oh my God, we had no idea it was like this. Oh, what do you think, Mr. Shockley? Are you excited for Indiana Jones? Was this game on the radar for you? And are you excited that it's going to be an Xbox exclusive?
Yeah, that was really cool. It was kind of like almost like a second E3. It is weird that if they were willing to, I can't remember in the court if they had to mention this was exclusive, or I can't remember how it came about, but it's, unless it was like something they didn't want to disclose yet and it got brought up to where they had to answer it. It's weird that they didn't show it in the E3, because that could have been like I guess they didn't want to show off stuff too early. So I guess they're just waiting. We're probably wanting to wait till they actually showed off to say it. But I mean, heck, you had the Starfield announcement. Hey, it's exclusive. And they showed us like someone starting an engine for a rocket and I guess the date, but yeah, that was kind of cool to find out, you know. Hey, not only that, because I was just wondering if it was going to come to Game Pass, which, because like the Outer Worlds did try to work up a deal with Private Division and they weren't able to get it to be exclusive, but they were able to get it to come to Game Pass day one, which, you know, it was pretty shocking on their, that they were able to pull that on their part on that end. But yeah, I think everybody was saying, oh, this is an example. They didn't honor the contracts like they said they were going to do with Bethesda. And I'm like, oh, they honored the contract. Amending a contract is not breaking it. It's still the original contract. People get it misconstrued that if a deal was in place for it to come to PlayStation, that's them breaking the deal. No, see, that's the thing. This deal didn't involve PlayStation. It involved Bethesda or ZeniMax and Disney coming to terms saying, hey, we're going to make a game. Which platforms are we going to because obviously Sony's not going to say no when they send it to Sony to say, hey, can you prove this? Obviously, they're going to say yes, especially with Disney's. They're going to allow a Disney IP on there. That's not even in question. But the deal was between ZeniMax and Disney. That was it. Just those two players. So now Microsoft owns ZeniMax, so it's really between Microsoft and Disney. So all they had to do was like, hey, are you okay with us doing this? You know, making it exclusive, doing a day one Game Pass. Cool. They do that. They get them to agree to those terms, and they amend the contracts. They didn't break anything. It's not the same deal as, you know, had they the Deathloop or the Ghostwire Tokyo. That was a deal between ZeniMax, which now would be Microsoft, having to honor that contract because it's directly with Sony and ZeniMax or Microsoft at that point. So obviously Sony's not going to, after announcing that those games are, you know, coming as like year one exclusives, weren't going to redo that deal. Why would they? They needed those IP to help sell their, you know, console when they didn't have as much first party to shell out that year of 2020 or 2021 or whatever. So it's not the same deal, but it was cool that to see that they were able to get those strings pulled. Cause I didn't, that was the only sad part when they first announced Indiana Jones. Was like, oh, cool. But that was like, also the deal's not officially done yet. So if they made that deal with Disney and announced it, then that means this probably not going to be exclusive. And at most I was just hoping, hey, at least that would be cool if they could at least make it Game Pass. That's one in itself. We, you know, just get it with our Game Pass membership that we're already paying for anyway. So that would be a win in itself, but they get both. That was pretty neat. So hopefully it's a solid game. I'm thinking they're, you know, taking their time with it. So hopefully Machine Game, you know, makes a solid title. But yeah, it's a cool new thing that now you add that up with all their other IP coming. So that's just another thing in their cap. Obviously, we haven't even seen what id's working on. So hopefully they're working on the next Doom successor or whatever. The, you know, there's so many studios they have now. So if you just add that into the portfolio, it's just nuts. And if they get this deal go through, it seems like, which I don't understand how like they even let that slide, because I think at some point in the FTC was like, with the whole COD, like they kept talking about COD, but like that's, they just want them to get them to commit to that. I'm like, I get it. It's a massive IP. It's the biggest one there, but pretty much, but they have Blizzard. There's other, like, there's this game Diablo that just dropped. Like, like then what if the next Diablo, like they didn't care about that? I'm like, all right. Like they're not even, they should just say all Activision, Blizzard, King. But it seems like they're only really like, hey, we are committed to bring COD over there. And I think when they first made the deal, they were like, hey, we'll continue to make sure Activision titles. So it seemed like, hey, they were going to just, hey, if we have to get this deal through with all Activision titles coming to PlayStation as they already are, cool. But it seems with all this bad blood and all this stuff that's gone down, and it seems like with the court just talking about COD, and after this, if this does go through with the FTC and the EU and all that, and they actually go ahead with the deal, I wouldn't be surprised if anything other than COD is exclusive, or like everything else other than COD. But yeah, it's awesome that they were able to get this deal signed, and they were able to just, that's why this court case has been, I thought it was just going to be boring, like mundane stuff, but it seems like every day there's a new revelation or just some new nugget of information that we didn't know about before. So, and to find out, hey, we got an exclusive and it's coming to day one Game Pass. Like that was like, oh, I didn't expect to have a E3 drop today. But yeah, hopefully we get some new information that's even more exciting next week. Maybe we hear about some more games that are exclusive that we didn't see coming.
You know, it's ironic that you mention E3, because like, we got the Xbox showcase, Then we got the second Xbox showcase, or like the expanded showcase, and we had all these game show, like the game showcases from all the brands, Ubisoft, Nintendo, Jeff Keighley's Summer of Games. And yeah, this almost felt like yet another game showcase, especially with some of the information coming out. But let's not make this show all about the FTC versus the FTC versus Xbox for Activision. Let's actually talk about some games and actually rewind, because yeah, last weekend we had the weekend off. It was Father's Day. There was a lot of people out doing stuff. And just before that, we had a lot of game showcases. So we are going to go back in time and talk about what we're excited for, because we all know we're excited for the future of the Xbox brand. But let's be honest, dude, gaming is this big thing that keeps us all entertained and always having these chats about the games we love to play. And a lot of games were just recently shown on a lot of these showcases. So we're going to start off with we'll start off with Shockley. What did you see that was shown in these game showcases that were out, that have just recently come out? You can pick from any one of them, whether it's Jeff Keighley's, the Capcom one, Ubisoft, Nintendo. Did anything really stand out for you?
I think I caught a little bit of the Nintendo. I feel like I just saw something that dropped that I totally forgotten the Nintendo one. I know that I saw the 2D, what was it, the 2D Mario. The Super Mario RPG. That was pretty cool. Although the only thing I don't like about it, because I have a kind of love. I mean, I still haven't played it, so I can't blame myself. I can only blame myself. But I know back when the N64 dropped in like 96, I had that thing before most kids got to even play it, because most kids got it for the holiday for 96 in North America. And luckily my stepdad didn't let my mom know, and we were playing it before Christmas. So I was like, oh cool, and this Super Mario RPG game looks like, from the magazines, from like Nintendo Power, looked super sick, just like its aesthetic and everything. I'm like, cool, this is surely going to be coming, because that game was, I think, releasing on the SNES after the N64 released. So it was such an odd release, and it had such a cool look. Just a higher red, it kind of had that N64 look to it, as far as like, hey, this isn't just Super Mario World where it looks like some regular just sprites. It had like that, those 3D, kind of like the Donkey Kong Country like type of look to it, like Silicon Knights type of look. And they kind of kept some of that, like they're kind of smushed characters, and but it, like, it doesn't seem as like cool and just like this uncanny valley, like dark aesthetic kind of that it had to it. So it's just kind of like this bright and colorful kind of look, which doesn't, I don't know, there's something off about it, but it's still like, I'll definitely jump on it for sure. But yeah, that was the only thing I was disappointed on. I'm like, oh cool, this, that's awesome that they're doing that, and then it's like, they could have just made it just a little bit more of the look that it should be. But yeah, and then I think they had announced the 2D. It's a new. I was getting tired of the whole new Super Mario Brothers that they've been running with since like the DS. So like to have them at least doing a new look and new stuff with that whole thing is cool. But man, it's. I get it. Like we always say, they need new fresh IP, because they run the same IP into the ground just over and over, like literally two Mario, like I get it, like Super Mario RPG remake, and then this. It's just, I wish that they would announce, like, create some new IP. They created some most beloved IP, but they just, I guess, what was the last thing, Splatoon, that didn't really, I'm sure it is popular with people, but it's, I don't think it's nearly on the level of their other creations, as far as like that popular characters compared to like Mario, Kirby, Zelda, like all that. I don't know, sometimes the Mario overload just gets a little too much, but they look like awesome games, so I mean, I'll definitely play them for sure. But yeah, those are the, I would say, the highlights from that show. I don't think I saw anything else other than what we had already kind of heard about. So I don't think it caught too much of the Jeff Keighley, other than people were, I think I saw snippets of the Star Wars game that looks like it would be pretty cool. Since we didn't really see that in the Xbox show, we just kind of saw the CGI trailer. So but that's cool, new open world like Star Wars. Because that's what Ubisoft should do, because some of their open world games get a little on the boring side. So hey, at least they're taking a IP that you're probably not going to get bored with, investigating its world and all that. So those are probably the highlights of this summer, between like from Nintendo show and then
definitely. I mean, dude, there was a lot to take in. If you tried to watch all of those shows, I mean, it was a big week. A couple of the ones, at least from like Jeff Keighley's, that really stood out to me. Like you said, like you did actually talk about the Star Wars game that actually was put over on the Xbox One, and then it was touched more on the Ubisoft show. But with Jeff Keighley's show, we saw John Carpenter's Toxic Commando. That one really kind of like stood out to me. Another one, Pal World, Pokemon with guns. I have never played a Pokemon game a day in my life, but apparently me and my wife need to check this one out. That one is on my radar for sure. Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden. That was just some that were shown on Jeff Keighley's. Then on the Xbox Extended Showcase, we saw Lightyear Frontier. Don't know why, but that actually looks like it'd be a fun game for me and my wife to play and enjoy. Lies of P. There is actually a lot to be excited about, especially with the Xbox brand and what they're going to have over there. I mean, they did a deep dive on Avowed. We got to see that there's going to be DLC for High on Life involving Knifey. Dude, there is a lot to take in. What do you think, Mr. Jenner MLD? Was there anything that kind of stood out for you? Did you just watch the Xbox show, or did you did you tune in for any of the other shows, and did anything capture your attention from them?
I did keep track of a little bit of everything. Let's see, Ubisoft, the Star Wars game looked pretty good. I'll keep a loose eye on that one. I'll see if Ubisoft formula can translate well into that IP. So there's that. The Xbox Extended Showcase, like you said, Pal World looks pretty interesting, because I grew up on Pokemon, so that looks like a interesting twist with all the guns and firepower there. Forza Motorsport, that they did like the deep dive into that. It's really making me interested in this game. Like, I'm a Horizon guy, but I'm going to give this one a shot. I think I'm just blown away by just all the detail that's going to go into it. So there's that. Summer Game Fest was pretty good too. The Sonic game intrigued me. There's other things off the, I can't remember right now, but then there's the Nintendo Mario RPG. Like, I was a big Paper Mario fan. Like, turn-based combat, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know, and it's what, this November it's coming out? Like, how does Nintendo do this? Like, these guys just crank out the hits, like, one after the other. It amazes me. So it was a pretty good overall showcase season, I'd say, this year. Better than many other years, I'd say. With, of course, Xbox being the one that did all the heavy lifting. They by far had the best show. And that's a rare thing to say, but a happy thing to say all the same. So, yeah, those are the games I'm looking forward to, but mostly the Xbox Showcase and the highlights from that one are the ones that I'm truly keeping track of, with some multiplayer exceptions like Alan Wake, Assassin's Creed, and Warhammer Space Marine 2. So, yeah, that's me.
For sure. Space Marine 2, that one, I mean, I still got to play the original game, but I'm excited for that one, and I am not as big of a Warhammer fan as you and Invader. Speaking of Warhammer, Mr. Dots, I know you're into Warhammer yourself a little bit. Was there anything that captured your attention from all these shows that were that have taken place over the past few weeks?
Yeah, I actually was starting to write a small list down before the show started today. For the Summer Game Fest, I mean, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I'm very interested in. Obviously, I'll be waiting the full extra year or two before it hits Steam to play that one. Mortal Kombat 1, looking forward to that. I'm not super big in the fighting games, but I've always enjoyed, you know, whenever there's a new installation of Mortal Kombat. NetherRealms just does a fantastic job at showing us fantastical different ways of killing people. A lot of my friends are really hyped for Sonic Superstars. I don't know if I'll play it. You know, they might rope me into it with the co-op, but I know a lot of my friends are really into that. Pal World, freaking hilarious, the amount of pals that literally are just Pokemon ripoffs, but that just makes, for me, the game all the more charming. It's just funny seeing, like, hey, that looks like a, but with a gun. And so I'm looking forward to that. Mostly just for the meme, but that doesn't mean I won't drop the money for it just to play the meme as well. And hell, it might even be really good. I mean, the fact that it's getting this much traction from just the marketing of it, as literally just being called, hey, we are a Pokemon ripoff with guns, I'm impressed that it's actually getting this much traction and, you know, popularity. I'm actually looking forward to that. Lord of the Rings Return to Moria, Lord of the Rings Dwarf Minecraft, more accurately, I am actually excited for that one. I don't know why, but I like the idea of, you know, just being in the Lord of the Rings universe, playing Minecraft pretty much in one of the most, like, unique location. Well, I wouldn't say unique, but one of the most memorable locations from Lord of the Rings, from the first movie, even if you're a movie goer and not a book reader. But that's going to be huge for, you know, those nerds. I mean, they're already eating up the new Magic the Gathering set that just came out for Lord of the Rings. So that fandom's never dying. Obviously Space Marine 2, I was blown away the fact that they announced 3-player co-op for the campaign. I was expecting just basic multiplayer like the first game, but 3-player co-op, that's going to bring up the replayability factor on that game. Because I know people who will be like, hey, yo, I want to play the single player campaign of Space Marine 1 just because it's really good, you know, mindless fun and slaughter. And it's like, bro, let's bring 2 friends. Let's do this again and again. Oh, you just got the game and I've owned it for a month. I'll play the campaign with you. It'll be a blast. You know, stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to that. In the Xbox Extra Showcase, everything really looked good. I liked the little update to Hi-Fi Rush. I know a lot of my friends would be excited with Phasmophobia coming to consoles and having cross-play. That's a big thing for them. I don't play Microsoft Flight Simulator, but the fact they're getting an Ornithopter from Dune looks really freaking cool. So that's really neat. I didn't look into Lightyear Frontier until you mentioned it. I'm like, Farmville with mechs, you know, color me intrigued kind of thing there. I know a couple people were talking about 33 Immortals, the freaking 33-player co-op. I've never heard of such a thing. What a weird random number to pick from. But that also just sounds like a blast, having a 33-player PvE content thing. I'm looking forward to that. I came to the, let's see here, what else I've written down. Oh yeah, with Ubisoft, it was Star Wars Outlaws, like, all the way. That is definitely something like that in the Star Wars universe. You know, I know a lot of people are just all about lightsabers and using the Force, but, you know, I've read a couple of the books, and just the perspective of the universe through someone who has zero concept of the Force or Jedi or Sith, and also the fact that it's during the Galactic Civil War with the Empire and the Rebellion, or at least in that general timeline, that's one of the best timelines to go in. It's, you know, going away from, you know, the main story of the heroes, you know, just seeing the universe in that timeline with someone who is not Force sensitive, he's just a gunslinger or whoever you decide to make them, bounty hunter, gunslinger, smuggler, whatever. That just sounds really, really cool. And I can't wait to see how that exploration goes. A lot of good showcases. Looking forward to a lot of things coming up. And, the rest of this year and next year is just, constantly getting better for us gamers. There's so much content and variety to choose from. Main thing is, hopefully we can keep up as the gamers. Thank God for Game Pass, right?
No, for real. But here's some really good food for thought. So not to be the nerd or to get into the lore, but technically in the Star Wars universe, there is people that are Force sensitive that are not Jedi or Sith. They are actually undiscovered. If you keep up with the lore, you need to have midichlorians in your blood system to actually interact with the Force. And that's what made Darth Vader so special, is he had a midichlorian rate that actually was off the charts when they tested his blood. So that's where you can technically be Force sensitive, and neither the Jedi or the Sith know you exist, and you yourself would not even know that you have the capacity to interact with the Force. You would just be one of these people that would just be like, hey, I'm a badass pilot because I have like this intuition where I just know what to do, and you have no idea that it's actually the Force communicating with you. So, we really don't know exactly where the plot is going to go with Outlaws, because we just saw that, I won't get into it, but if you play Jedi Survivor, there was a major plot twist that involves somebody that was a Force user. So let's just say, you could have those moments where you were like, oh my God, I didn't even know they could do that. So let's get to our final member here on the panel, our esteemed guest, Mr. Plume. Out of all the games that were shown at all these showcases, out of whichever one, which ones captured your attention and basically pinged your radar?
Yeah, there is actually a decent amount of games. The next couple of years are going to be insane with the backlog, and I don't know how we're going to play them all. But starting with Summer Game Fest, right off of the bat, Mortal Kombat 1. Like, the gameplay they showed off there looked incredible. All the ways you can kill people, just I can't wait to jump into that one. I'm not good at fighting games, so I usually generally just play through single player. Mortal Kombat has a good single player mode, so I'll definitely be picking that up. If I go online, I'll just get my ass kicked all the time. Prince of Persia, they showed it off at the Summer Game Fest, and then they showed it off more in depth at the Ubisoft show. And I actually thought it looked great as a 2D side-scrolling action platformer. I know there was a big split where it got a bunch of thumbs down and people were not happy with what they saw, probably because they wanted to see the Prince of Persia remake instead, which we know isn't anywhere near ready to be shown, or if it even is coming anymore, I'm not sure. But I thought this one looked really cool. I'm actually pretty excited for it. It comes out early 2024, I think in January. And it looks like a game that's right up my alley. I love my side-scrolling action platform games. Sonic Superstars looks pretty good. I'm excited for that. I actually just picked up Sonic Origins Plus. So I like my Sonic games. And this looks like graphically and stuff, and the side-scrolling part of it kind of looks like Sonic Generations a little bit, with the art style they went with. So that looks cool. Those were all in the Summer Games Fest. Other than that, I feel like for Summer Games Fest, for me, all of the big hitters they showed off at the beginning, and then it got kind of boring further on. But there was Banishers, which looks good, the Pal World game, you guys all are excited for. I'm pretty excited for it too, as a guy who likes Pokemon, and then seeing it with the guns in there, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And Space Marines 2, I'm not hugely into the Warhammer universe or anything, but this is probably one of my most anticipated games from all of the showcases put together, because I played the first one randomly on Xbox 360, and it was one of my favorite games that generation. I absolutely loved the first one. So the second one here, with co-op and everything, going to play through probably multiple times, and just they continuously are blowing me away with the gameplay that they are showing off for it. So that one was huge from the Summer Games Fest. And then What else there? We had the Ubisoft show again. They showed off Star Wars, the 10-minute gameplay of it, and that looks like looks awesome. I was kind of worried a little bit about Star Wars Outlaws when they first showed it off at the Xbox showcase, not because I didn't think it looked good, but it was coming from Massive, so we know they do The Division, which I actually do enjoy The Division, but I was wondering if they were going to go along lines of like third-person action game with the storyline and everything, or if it was going to be more of a games as a server style game. And obviously from what we've seen so far, that doesn't seem like it's going to be the case. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora looks cool. I like Far Cry. I actually love the Far Cry game. So in the Avatar universe, that's exciting to me. And then I love Assassin's Creed. So Assassin's Creed Mirage looks good, going back to the old style of Assassin's Creed, smaller. You can see there's a lot more stealth involved and a lot more planning for your assassinations compared to the bigger open world ones. So all those games look, I mean, Ubisoft show was weird. It was like they had good games in between just very odd segments of random people dancing and doing these just boring parts. I don't know why they broke it up like that, but if they would have just shown only those games, I think it would have been awesome. What else do we have? Nintendo Direct, like the Super Mario RPG. I played the original, so I'm excited for the remake. Super Mario, the new side-scrolling game. I like my Mario games. And then besides that, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon is cool because that's like a remake, I believe, from the DS version. And I like my Luigi's Mansion game, even the Luigi's Mansion 3 that came out on the Nintendo Switch. I don't know if you guys have ever played those. If you do have a Switch, though, it's a really good-looking game and fun game on a platform as underpowered as the Nintendo Switch. I was actually blown away playing through the Luigi's Mansion 3. So that looks cool. And then, I mean, from there, I'll probably play some more games for there, but nothing really that did blow me away. And the Xbox Extended Showcase, it was okay. I mean, there was nothing there that was really crazy. I like how they got further into Avowed and they talked more about your companion character. And we saw more of the graphical stuff that's going on with all the colors and everything. I know that was a topic of debate. I think Avowed it looks good. It's obviously different from what they originally showed off with the teaser, but it's definitely right in the Pillars of Eternity universe. So it's right up that alley with the terms of the actual look of it and everything. And I think that they're going to do a good job with that. Towerborn from the Extended Showcase as well looked really good. Side-scrolling, RPG action type of game I like. This reminds me of games like Odin's Sphere and Dragon's Crown and the Iodine Chronicles, a game that came out on Game Pass. I think it was last year, which I played through. So I like that style of stuff. So that looked really good. And then, I mean, Hi-Fi Rush Arcade Challenge updates Hi-Fi Rush, which is one of my favorite games this year. So I'll probably be jumping into that and seeing how hard it gets and how what my scores can be. But besides that, I mean, Lies of P demo came out. They showed that there, I believe, at the Extended Showcase, which I've played through, which is a ton of fun. But yeah, there's actually a lot of games that I'm excited for. It's an insane year. All the showcases were decent, but like, again, the Xbox main showcase was far and away the best one so far. I think, well, I guess they're all over, but it was far and away the best one out of all of them. But yeah, lots to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely no argument there that the Xbox showcase was pretty much the highlight of all these shows because they really knocked it out the park. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Xbox fan. I'm just saying, yeah, and tuning into them, watching what was offered, Xbox really delivered a lot of stuff that I was interested in. And that goes way beyond first party studios. This is all about just the breadth of gaming that was offered in that show altogether. But that does do it for tonight's show. We thank everybody for tuning in to the chat, checking it out on the replay. Just as a word of warning that, yes, this was like an emergency impromptu thing to have the show on my channel because we definitely wanted to have the show with Plume here. We wanted to have our discussion. For those that are capturing it on the replay, you will find it over on the TXR Podcast's main YouTube channel. We are going to upload it over there. So to finally start kicking off our end here. Mr. Plume, thank you for joining us tonight. You have an amazing channel yourself, so please let everybody know where they can find you.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It was great discussions about everything Xbox, FTC, all that stuff. You can find me on YouTube at Plume Network and Twitter at Plume Network. Those are the two best places if you want to interact.
Right on. And our other guest, our special friend here that's always willing to come when the TXR bat signal hits the sky, Mr. Dots RTS. Thank you for being here, good sir. Where can we all find you at?
Thank you again for having me. You know, short notice and technical difficulties doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm always here when you guys need me. I'm always happy to talk to you guys. You know, nice little second family going on here. You guys, if you haven't already, you can find me at DotsRTS on Twitter. That's my primary social media at the moment. On Xbox, Chaos Dots or us. But yeah, no, always happy to be here. Always here, happy to talk to you guys. Can't wait to, you know, see where the future of gaming goes. And this is going to be an interesting week coming up with the FTC. So everyone keep your eyes open. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely going to be an interesting week for sure. We will finally have some clarification on whether or not this deal is going to happen or not. It's definitely going to be, everybody's going to have their butts glued to the seats. Popcorn's going to be served in the stands. We are all looking forward to what's going to take place this week for sure. And definitely keeping up with it all would be our good friend, Mr. General MLD. So good, sir. It was a great show tonight. Where can we all find you at?
Yeah, thank you. Had a lot of fun. You guys can find me at MLD Ghost on Twitter, gamertag Ghost MLD. And yeah, here's to next Sunday where, hey, we hopefully have some good news to talk about.
I know, right? That would be a very interesting show. And also the internet would probably more than likely be burning down to the ground at that point. But still, all right. And for our final panel member, Mr. Eric Shockley, thank you, good sir. It had some really great input tonight. Please tell everybody where we can find you at.
Yeah, as always, you can find me at Shock Nero on Twitter, Easy Shock on Xbox Live. But yeah, thanks for our guests for dropping in, helping us fill up our spots, and thanks for their patience and us trying to, and everybody else listening, trying to get that some technical difficulties. But it was a good show tonight. I think they have to decide on Thursday. I don't know if I think it's just the final hearings on Thursday, so I don't know when we actually get a decision of if there's an extension, which would kill the deal. But I guess we'll find out Thursday. But we'll probably have some new juicy nuggets of information. and then hopefully we get more redact or more stuff cleared up that wasn't redacted. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this week. Hopefully, but unfortunately it doesn't start until I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, so nothing tomorrow. But yeah, hopefully we'll get some juicy info.
And yeah, definitely there's gonna be some leaks for sure. I'm curious what's gonna be leaked after the whole proceedings are done, where, you know, some lawyer very sillily kind of left a piece of paper laying around or something got leaked. Like everybody said, we're hoping to see that disposition with Jim Ryan hopefully come out. Definitely some fun times ahead, especially with what's going to come out after the proceedings. For those interested, please locate the TXR podcast, of course, on YouTube. You can also locate them on BitChute, Spotify, and other streaming services. Also, please check out our other panel members that couldn't make it tonight, Mr. Crusader 3456, and of course, our amazing main host, the man that keeps the lights on around here, Invader 1986. I am, of course, Centurion 1307. I thank everybody for joining us here tonight on my channel. Yes, of course, this is my channel. You can also locate me on Twitter and Xbox Live at Centurion 1307. And until next time, everybody, thank you for tuning in, and you guys have yourselves a good night.